I want to talk to you today about our responsibility to share the gospel. Our responsibility to share the gospel. Let God be true and every man a liar. Here's what God says. If you go to Matthew 28, I have it up here on the screen. Matthew 28, starting with the 18th verse, you know this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things." Everybody say all things. "That I have commanded you," stay here, "all things that I have commanded you." Jesus is making a commandment. This is not a, well, here's what Jesus isn't saying. If you're extroverted, see, how many know there's introverted people and there's extroverted people? There's people who have, find it a lot easier to start up conversations than other people. Some people are less shy, some people are more shy. But notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, you know what, for all the extroverted people, go in all the world and preach the gospel. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, for all the Tonys in your church, it's their responsibilities to, because that's how they are, that's how God made them. but you are mellow. How many of you, raise your hands, how many of you tend to be more on the mellow side? Raise your hand if you tend. Real high. See, some of you, you're too mellow. You're like, I'm mellow. No, come on. Even if you're mellow, raise your hand. Look at that. See, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want to say to you. Understand the commandment. The commandment to you is you are just as responsible to preach the gospel as somebody who's more extroverted. It's all our responsibilities. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. It is, I want to talk to you today about let God be true. Let his commandment be true to you. You know, it's interesting because I thought going over this message, I thought, man, how in the world can I get my message over to people in a gracious way? Because, see, I was raised in a Baptist church, and sometimes they were less gracious in teaching how to be an evangelist. You know what I mean? And it's like, hey, don't you recognize people are going to hell? Well, you got to get out there and preach the gospel because people are going to hell every day. Here's the thing about that. You know what? You know that's true. I said, you know that's true? I mean, go back in your mind. And we're not to judge because we don't know that somebody couldn't at last minute accept Jesus in their heart. We don't know that David Bowie did that. We don't know that Prince did that. We don't know that Michael Jackson, we don't know whether he did it or whether he didn't. Here's what I'm saying to you. Here's what I'm saying to you. Paul prays this. He says, pray. Here's what I want you to pray. Pray that we would have the boldness to declare what we need to declare. Here's what I want to say. Who knew Robin Williams? How many of you, your life, even if it was just for a couple hours to watch a movie, how many of you felt like Robin Williams, at least in some minor way, caused you to laugh a little bit and caused your life to be a little less, you know what? Don't quote me on this. Don't go out and watch a movie, because sometimes I say, oh, this is a great movie, and like I forget, like they'll say the F word four times, and I'll think, oh, pastor told me to go see a movie, and they said the F word four times. Right? So I'm real careful. I always have disclaimers now. But one of the funniest movies, you know what? It was RV. Did you see Robin Williams in RV? Okay, if you didn't, you know, I'm not telling you this, but you could, if you're in Academy of Righteousness, you got to wait. But I'm telling you what, amen. But I'm telling you, it is a funny, 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 funny movie. and I think, you know what? Was there somebody who loved Jesus that was around Robin Williams who could have been more outspoken about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Can I get real with you today? I said, can I get real with you today? Couple of reasons why we are not so bold in talking about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ offends people. Please understand, people are funny because like they don't remember history. They're like, oh, you know what? Christians are hypocritical, but Jesus was cool. Jesus was cool. Jesus was cool. Oh, my goodness. They didn't think Jesus was cool when he was around. People who started to know Jesus started to hate Jesus. Because let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus would talk the truth to people. And the better you knew the Jesus, the more he'd be honest with you to tell you stuff about your life that, how many know sometimes, you ever had somebody tell you, you ever had somebody tell you you have bad breath? I ask you if I could be real today. How many know when somebody tells you, man, you have bad breath? How many know you don't have this fondness to give them a hug and say, thank you for telling me? Come on, am I real with somebody? How many know there's a part of you that just kind of gets ticked off? Hello, somebody. Yeah, all of a sudden everybody's like, ooh. But how many know that? And the truth is, you know what? The truth is, somebody who tells you you have bad breath, there are two things. They either really love you or they're really young. I mean, a young girl will just tell you, man. It'll just be word up, straight up. But here's what I'm saying. Jesus had the integrity, the honor, honoring you to tell you things that were going on in your life. Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, Jesus, same way. And because of that, sometimes, I had one lady tell me, she said, Pastor, sometimes when you're done preaching, I don't want to talk to you. She said, I have to get my car and go home immediately because I get so mad at you. What was she communicating? She was communicating with a pastor who would tell them her the truth. And I didn't know it was her. I didn't, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on. But I'd tell the truth. And so all I'm saying is sometimes we don't want to because Jesus is offensive. And Jesus is offensive because he'll tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth people don't want to hear. Okay, let me give you one example. Jesus says, there's no other way to get to heaven but through me. How many know in this world, that is extremely offensive? Hello? Number one, you might not feel like being so outspoken about Jesus because his adamantness of saying, this is the right way and I am the only way is very offensive to our culture right now, especially. Number two, everybody say number two. We tend to be very, how many like yourself? Okay, how many like yourself a lot? Okay, so I'm going to be truthful, okay. So because we like ourselves a lot, we like, you know what, I mean, on this, I don't know what it is, Facebook or Face Friends or whatever they call it, but they have this thing, I don't even know what it is exactly, but it's like you have these things, these likes. Do I know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Or dislikes. And we want to post something, everybody goes, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. How many like to be liked? Okay. But when you say stuff like Jesus says, and when you say, Jesus, I'm a Jesus follower, I believe Jesus, that there is no other way. There's no other way. the Bible says that there's no By no other name can you be saved. No other name. Well, that is offensive. And because we live in, the Bible says, in the end days, men will become lovers of themselves. Because we love ourselves so much, many times that causes us to be, man, I just want people like me. Okay. We've got to get out of ourselves. We've got to get in a place where we just say, look, Jesus said, be careful when all men say good things about you. You know what? Sometimes politicians can be that way. And they're like, you know what? Well, are you for abortion or against abortion? Well, I'm you know what? I think that all babies should be born on purpose. Okay. What? Huh? Or every child born in the United States should be a purposeful child. I'm sorry, that wasn't the question. Are you for or are you against abortion? See, and we just want everybody to, we want to say something in a way that if you're on this side, you're going to be okay, but if you're on this side, you're going to be okay. And let me tell you what, that is not Christianity. Paul says, I pray that I would be bold. Pray for me that I would be bold, that I would say that thing that I ought to say. So I want to talk about this today. Everybody say, let God be true. Okay, let him be true. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Let God be true. Let it be today. My prayer for you today is that we would get off of our self-centeredness where it's not about us. We are kingdom builders. And we start to have this boldness. Now, I'm going to go over some scriptures that will help you. The first scripture, and guys, go not in order. I didn't misprint this when I had it the way I had it. So don't try to reverse the order. I'm talking to the sound guys in the back. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 11. Starting with verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. This is the scripture we're going to talk about today. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Everybody say the terror of the Lord. We persuade men, but we are well known to God, and also trust that we are well known in your consciousness, Thank you. Okay. So here's what I'm saying. Paul's saying this. Let me tell you why we persuade men. The sermon title is We Persuade Men. We persuade men. Let me tell you why he persuaded men. He persuaded men because he knew the terror of the Lord. Pastor, wait. Is that in your Bible? Yes. It's interesting because we need to teach truth and grace. I always say truth and grace. If all we do is preach grace, then we have a huge problem because we become unbiblical. Yeah. We're not doing what the Bible says. We're not doing what Paul says. Paul says, let me tell you why we persuade men. We persuade men because of the terror of the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be truthful. Look at these passages real quickly. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Oh, no. Go, before you go to Colossians chapter 3, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 10. We'll go backwards. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's we must? Everybody is going to sit before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether what? Listen, it doesn't make any difference what the person over at Home Depot who's buying, you know what, a lock right now thinks. That's going to happen. Whether he believes it or not, that's going to happen. That's what Paul is saying this. Because of this, we got to preach the gospel to people. Hello? Now, watch these passages. Not passages that are preached on very much, but we're going to go over them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. What's coming upon the sons of disobedience? Everybody say wrath. The wrath of God. Yeah, but I thought God loved everybody. He does love everybody. That's why he sent his son. That you could be saved from the wrath. But when Jesus, God, sends you a life vest, his name is Jesus, and you take that life vest and throw it back at God and say, there is no God. I don't believe in God. I don't want a God. I don't need a God. I don't, all this stuff that the world says, you know what? That is, there's going to be a wrath that's going to be poured out. Everybody? No, the sons of disobedience. That's truth. And that needs to be taught. Look at this passage. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, no, no, no. Go back, sorry. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Oh, no, no, no. Go to 6. Go to 6. Because of these things. What are these things? What are these things? How many know it would be important to figure out what these things are? Because it's going to be, that's how come the wrath's going to come. Go back to 5. Hear these things. Therefore, put to death all your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. These are those things. Because of fornication, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on people who fornicate. Oh, I never heard that. Well, we need to tell the truth to people. Amen. How many know it's loving to tell the truth to people? Amen. Okay, so watch, go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, that's right. For the works of the flesh are evident. Guys, this is obvious. I don't care what the world says. There are things that are wrong and there's things that are right. Period. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Hello? How many know there's some lewdness that takes place in our world? If you read the newspaper or you know your news feed recently? I mean, it's crazy lewdness. I mean, people just doing nutty stuff. And nobody's saying anything about it. Because they're in places of authority that they want people to like them. Finally, somebody's saying something. I mean, it's crazy lewdness. That's not okay. That's not okay with God. Amen? Uncleanliness, lewdness. Next verse. Evil, murders, drunkenness. Drunkenness? You mean I can't just go out and get drunk every once in a while? You can do what you want to do. Revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand. Oh, this is good. Of which I tell you beforehand. Why is he telling them that beforehand? Because he doesn't love them? No, because he does love them. You know what I mean? Ooh, you know what I mean? How loving is it if a parent just, you know what, just picks you up, puts you over his knee, starts spanking you? It's like, what are you spanking me for? I'm spanking you for, you know, because I, you know, you can't wear a hat. I didn't know I couldn't wear a hat. You never tell me that. Well, now you know. Boom, boom, boom. How many know that's not a loving parent? But how many know a parent says, if you eat that cookie before dinner, you're going to be in trouble. See, that's loving. Here's what he's saying. Guys, I'm telling you this beforehand. Just as I also told you in time past. You know what that means? I'm telling you beforehand, and I've already told you this. People stand before God, there's going to be judgment. But I didn't know. You knew. You knew. Yeah, but what if somebody's in Africa and they don't know? They know. The Bible says they know. And you know. Now, here's what the Bible says. You can suppress that. How many know you can suppress that? I said, how many know you can suppress that? One of the ways that we've suppressed this in our culture in America is we have found people who agree with us that what we know is wrong, we'll pretend that it's not wrong. And here's the deal. Then what we'll do is if you say it is wrong, we'll call you a name because you shouldn't tell us what's wrong. How many of you know the Bible says there's one judge? You know what one judge means? It's not you. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And it doesn't make any difference. You can get all your friends and say, no, no, it's cool. You can get drunk every once in a while. You can get drunk every once in a while. You can drink. Every once in a while, you can fornicate. You know what I mean? Every once in a while. Come on. You know what I mean? I mean, you can fornicate at least once a month. You can fornicate. Hello, how many know? How many know this is, people think this. People think, you know what? Listen, I've been dating him 4 months. Of course I can sleep with him. Now, we can't sleep with him after 4 dates. How many know you can find people, 4 dates is a long time. You could sleep with them after 4 dates. Come on. See, and we come up with all this. You know what? Let's grade it. You know what? This is okay. This is, God says, no. Let me tell you beforehand, and I've already told you this, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't say those who have done those things. It says those who practice those things. When I was playing racquetball, I first started playing racquetball. I was an awful racquetball player. And I played with my brother-in-law. My brother was gracious. He said, you know, you got to practice. He says, here you do. Just get up against the wall, throw the ball, hit it. 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 And all of a sudden, and when I first would throw the ball it's against the wall, boom, it'd go up. But I got to the place where I could throw the ball against the wall and hit it, and I could just put it right down close to the floor. And I'd do 100 times, boom, boom, and then I'd do my backhand, say against the other wall, boom, boom, just boom. You know what? What am I doing? I'm doing something repeatedly. What am I doing? Sort of. I'm practicing those things. There's people who are practiced. There's nothing wrong with those things, so they do it over. That's what practice is. It's something you do over and over and over. That's what he's saying. He's not talking about you fornicated when you were in junior high. He's not talking about if you fornicated when you were in high school. He's not talking about when you fornicated 4 months ago and you recognize, man, I got to stop doing that. That's against the things of God. That's not what we're talking about. Hello? How many of the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from all unrighteousness? But Pastor, why do you bring up these passages? Here's why. Because Paul says, let me tell you why we persuade men. We persuade men because we know the wrath of God is going to be poured out on sons of disobedience. Wow. Can somebody say amen? It's very quiet in this place. Okay. But here's what I'm saying. Listen. The wrath of God is going to be poured out on sons of disobedience. And so, Paul says, let me tell you what, I'm passionate on this. I mean, I'm just totally passionate in what I'm doing. Now, quickly, number one, we persuade men. Number one, we persuade men. Notice, we don't beat men up with our Bible. Hello. No, this is a good point. Listen to me. We persuade men. Everybody say we persuade men. We persuade men. Paul is persuading men in the marketplace. There's some Greek men who are philosophers. They see him. They tell him, man, you got to come over here. This place where all the philosophers hang out and we all talk about philosophy. And there was this place and he goes over there and he talks to them. And it's interesting because here's what he does. Before he talks to them, he looks at all their places of altars. And it comes to this one place, and he sees this one place, and there's this altar, and it's called the altar of the unknown God. Here's what they're doing. They're worshiping the sun god, the moon god, all these different idols. And somebody thinks, uh-oh, what if we forget one? If we forget one, we're just going to make one up that is kind of a catch-all because we want to make sure we don't offend anybody. Paul does something very interesting. And please learn this, because we can get so militaristic in our theology that we don't even look for a place of connection with people. We get so, you're wrong, we know you're wrong, you're going to hell, pastor told us, this, you know what, that the wrath of God is going to be poured out on sons of disobedience, you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell, and we know it, blah, blah, blah. And whoa. Paul says, here's what I do, I persuade men. Or say, persuade men. What's he doing? He's looking for a point of agreement. I said, pastor, but that's a reach. Paul, think about this for a minute. Paul is saying that these ungodly Greek philosophers, Paul's saying, we worship the same God. Pastor, that's a reach. It is a reach, but he's persuading men. He's trying to find a point of agreement. This is really important. What's a point of agreement? I don't know. Point of agreement can be anything. Point of agreement can be the Dodgers, amen? Point of agreement can be the Angels. Point of agreement can be, you know what, can be, you know what? You know, if I see somebody who's real athletic, I might start a conversation talking about, you know what, exercise, right? If I see somebody with a Dodger cap, I might start talking about the Dodgers. Amen? Does this make sense? Watch how he does this. He does this over and over and over again. Let me make this point first, because I have three subpoints under this, we persuade men. How do you persuade men? Number one, you know what? You perceive an openness. Everybody say perceive an openness. Okay. Look at, guys in the back, go to verse 20. This is in Acts chapter 17. This is where this takes place. But in verse 20, look at what he says. For you are bringing some strange things. These are what these Greek philosophers, they find Paul in the marketplace. He's preaching the gospel, and they start listening to him. And here's what they say. For you bring some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Do you see what he has first? The first thing he says is he has this openness that he's judging. These people are open to hearing what I have to say. Listen, and you have to be led by the Spirit. But do me a favor. Don't waste time talking to people who are closed-minded. How many know we have to be stewards of our time? And that doesn't mean that they are going to be way open. They could be just a little open. And don't be pessimistic. They might just have a little spirituality. They might be just seeking spirituality, and you think, "Oh, that's not godliness. They're not Christians yet." But they're open a little bit. If they're closed-minded, you know what? Just, you'll see it. Paul just moves on. Okay? So number one, you know what? You want to persuade men? You need to seek people out that are open. And that doesn't mean they're totally ready. Oh, you know, are you ready to accept Jesus? No, I just want to talk to you about the Bible. I just want to talk to you about the Old Testament. You might even just perceive a little bit of spirituality. There's some openness. And these people are open.
We want to know. Boom, he's on it. Number two. Number one, first, perceive this openness. Then, watch what he does. He finds a shared value. Verse 22, a shared value. Verse 22, look what this says. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. That was the place where all the Greek people hung out, all the philosophers, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." What's he trying to find? A place of contact, a place of agreement. He's complimenting them. See? We don't want to just offend people. Because when we offend people, the walls go up and they don't hear anything we say. "I'm right, you're wrong, you're going to hell. Wrath of God is going to be poured out, sons of disobedient, you're fornicating." Oh, that's, sorry. You're in the first row, but sorry. Okay. We're just an example, okay? All I'm saying is, watch this. See how that's not going to be, how that person might put some walls of defense up? Paul's not doing that. Paul's not saying, "Guys, unbelievable. You guys are idolaters. Unbelievable. Y'all going to hell." He doesn't say that. He says, "You know what? You know what I perceive? You guys are very religious." And he's not saying very religious in the negative kind of connotation that we talk about religious people. He's not saying that. This is a compliment. Number two, look at this. Are you learning something? Number two, look at verse 23. As I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with an inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, watch this, this is so awesome. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I preach to you. This guy, this unknown, that's who I'm preaching about. What's he saying? There's this connection. Me and you are the same. Wow. Watch number three. He does this any place he can find it. Number three, watch this. Look at verse 28. Look at verses 28. For in him we live. Take this off. Go to another verse, guys. Take it off. You know the scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. You ever heard that scripture? In him we, I quote it all the time. In him we live and move and have our being. You know who he's quoting there? I mean, this is the Bible, but before it was written, you know who he was quoting there? He was quoting Greek poets. Watch. Now go back there. For in him we live and move and have our being. I quote that all the time. Watch this. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Wow. What's he doing? He's trying to find a point of connection. You know, it's been said Christians are so busy talking about what they're against that they don't talk enough about what they're for. Can I tell you what? Befriend people. And I'm not saying, because it's going to be my next point, I'm not saying don't tell them the truth. But before I tell this person the truth, I might want to find something that I'm a friend with. I might want to lower some barriers a little bit. Amen? I might want to talk about how even though the Dodgers lost, man, I was proud of the Dodgers. They were scrappy. Amen? At least they made it to the World Series, man. And even down, they're down. They keep on scrapping, man. I've become more a Dodger fan. I didn't say more Dodger fan than an Angel fan. I didn't say that, but praise God. When I saw the Dodgers, man, what am I doing? I'm connecting, man. I'm trying to find a point of a connection. Don't let the first thing be the point of disagreement. That's just not what. What does he say? He says, we persuade men. Man, be smart. Persuade men. Now, I'm not saying that because in a minute you're going to see what he does. Well, look. Let me say this. Then he goes on to say, let me tell you what. The one that I preach about is the one true and living God. And let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. Now, as soon as he said Jesus rose from the dead, do you see what he's doing? He's finding a place of agreement. But listen, but don't not tell the truth. Oh, let's talk about bowling. Let's talk about Dodgers. Let's talk about the Lakers. Let's talk about making a cake. And you know what? And praise God, I got a friend. Well, yeah, I got a friend, but you got to persuade. Understand the purpose isn't just to have a friend. The purpose is your friend might be going to hell if they don't know Jesus. So at some point in time, you got to get off the Dodgers and onto the real purpose. We got Christians. You got people around you, and you talk about the Dodgers. You talk about the Lakers. Talk about the Knicks. Talk about, you know what, sewing. You talk about, you know what, cooking. You talk about gardening. But listen, at some point in time, you got to talk about Jesus. Amen. You got to talk about the one who's going to, because, you know what, they are going to, because what Paul said, let me tell you why we persuade men, because we understand the wrath of God is going to be poured out on sons of disobedience. We understand the wrath is coming. He said, but pastor, that's not positive. Let me tell you something. Please listen to me very carefully. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about God. We live in a society, a very arrogant society. And there's this condescension towards God. We can say anything and do anything, and it doesn't make any difference. And you know what? We'll blaspheme God and just be disrespectful and all kinds of things. And please understand, God created you. I'm talking about everyone. God created man. God loved man. God loved so much that even after they rejected him, he had a plan. His plan was Jesus Christ, sent his only begotten son. You know what? That anyone who would receive God could receive God. But please understand this. At some point in time, then God says that I've shown people, that I've shown people my love. They can see me in my handiwork. In the moon, in the stars, in the trees, in the birds. They can see God. I'm real. But what the Bible says is because they love their sin, they suppress me. They pretend I'm not real. Let me tell you what. We think we can offend everyone. But we have no, I'm talking about mankind. Man thinks they can just offend God and just live their life though any way they want. And they can. They can. But there will be an end of your life. And there's going to be an end of my life. And at the end of my life, you know where I'm going to live? I'm going to live wherever I choose my God to be. This earth is a choosing point. Jesus said, I'm not going to judge anybody. We think God ain't going to judge anybody. All God is going to do in judgment day is turn a light on and see. Who are you serving? Who's your God? 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 He's not going to judge you or you or you or you or you. All he's going to do is shine a light on you and shine a light on you. All he's going to do is see. See, your teachers, when they judged your grade, when they judged your test, they didn't decide whether you're going to get an A or an F. Right. Who decided that? You did. All they did was have the what do they call it? The master sheet and C. Number one is A. You got that wrong. You picked B. Number two was C. You got that wrong. You picked A. See, they're not judging you. They're revealing who you are. Do you see that? God says, anybody wants to be on my side? Get to it. Your life isn't your own. Give me your life. I'll give you my life. Boom. And you'll have a good life. And you'll live with me forever. Paul's convicted because he knows This thing is, and we got to get off of the Dodgers at some point. We got to get off of the Lakers. We got to get off our, and you know what? That is, I'm talking about the body of Christ. We've got to understand our purpose. Our purpose is you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And I mock this. I say, you know what? If you got somebody and you think you want me to invite them to church, just write their name, put it on up here. You know what? Give me their phone number and I'll call them all this week. You know what? And for some of you been coming here, you're like, ooh, I didn't know you did that. That was going to be awesome. I'm going to write some names. I'm mocking you. I'm not going to do that. Why? That's not my job. What is my job? My job is to equip you for the work of the ministry. My job is to tell you, hey, look, to give you an example, this is how Paul did it. He didn't criticize people. He found points of contact. But then once he found and built bridges, then he would tell them the truth. And here's what happened. Some of them said, as soon as he started to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, some of the philosophers are like, oh my goodness, this guy believes in the raising of the dead. He's crazy. You know, they just turned off their ears. And some of the people at some point in time, when you start talking, particularly when you start talking about Jesus, Jesus will, you know what, will create some conflict. When you start talking about Jesus, you know what, many of the people will be off the page. Jesus said it like this, preach the gospel. Those who receive, they'll be saved. Those who don't, they're already condemned. Why? Because their sin condemns them. Watch this. So, preach Jesus. Some of them, as soon as he talked about the resurrection of Christ, they said, forget it. Others, and this will be others, oh, let's talk about more. Let's talk about, let's come back tomorrow, we'll talk about it. And all they want to do is they want to talk, and 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 they want to talk. You know what? And what about this? And what about the bugs? Can bugs be saved? Can dogs be saved? Can giraffes be saved? What about, you know what? What about the ingrown toenail? What's going on there? And they just want to talk about all this stuff. And they just want to talk. Here's what Paul does. Some of them say, forget it. This guy's crazy. And they walk away. Some of them say, come back tomorrow and we'll talk. Watch this. And you know what Paul does? Paul walks away. Because he recognizes they just want to talk. I told you this before. I love what T.D. Jakes said. He had someone come up to him after the service, and they had changed the service time. You know what? I think they had started to grow. They had to go to multi-services. The lady liked the first time when they all, she said, I used to come to church. I loved it here. I would amen you. I loved it here. It was so awesome. But now you changed. I don't like that service time. And you know what T.D. Jakes said? He said, here's your problem. You don't want it bad enough. See, there's some people, and Jesus, and here's how they want God. They want God just like this, and just like that, and just like this, and just like that. Can I tell you about God? God says, here's what I want you to do. I will love you with all my heart, but you need to conform your thoughts and behavior to me. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. Did you come to church or did you come to change? Okay, so when this person is not doing that, he says, okay, you stay there, I'm leaving. Now here's what the Bible, here's the beautiful thing. You know when he left, some of those people, here's what the Bible says, and some of those people went with Paul. You know why they went with Paul? Because they met Jesus. They heard the truth. What's he doing? He's persuading men. He's not coming in talking, not offending men. When I talk about we have to be evangelistic, I don't mean offend people. I mean befriend them. But listen to me. If befriending men means this, that I have to agree with everything that you... No. Jesus doesn't have to agree with you. You have to agree with Jesus. Here's the thought. Jesus, you. I'm just asking, who is right?
Wait.
I'm going to set you up. You ready? Who is right all the time? Jesus. Listen to me. And so now I'm getting off point, but this is where the Holy Spirit wants to lead. So when Jesus tells you, whatever it is, stop smoking dope. Jesus says, stop smoking dope? Yeah, well, here's how he says it. He says, you know what? Don't get drunk with wine, which is dissipation. It's emptiness. You're being fooled. There's something better. It's called the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say don't get drunk. He says don't get drunk with wine. Well, how do I get drunk? I get happy in the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit will make you happy, supernatural. See, wine is a dissipation. It's a fool. It's a fake out. He says, don't do that. Because that's not the real thing. Let me give you the Holy Spirit. It's the real thing. Yeah, but, no, Pastor. I get high because that's medicine. I'm sorry. Okay, all right. Wow, really? Really? Come on. I mean, we can justify anything. What a world we live in that smoking dope is now prescribed. Oh, my goodness. What's my point? My point is, listen, Jesus is right all day long. And you have to make the decision. Who's going to be your Lord? It's going to be Jesus or it's going to be you? And Paul is a willingness to those people. He's willing to walk away. Here's the thing. Some will come. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for those who will come. This church, we're looking for those people who are will commit to Christ. We're not looking for perfect people, but we are. Let me tell you why we exist. We exist to preach the word, to get people saved, and once they're saved, that they would become followers of Christ. And through a period of preaching the word of God, that you would see yourself and say, oh my goodness, I need to become a follower of Christ. And here's what I want to say. If you will follow God's word, I guarantee you your life is going to get better. I guarantee you your life is going to get better. And it's going to get better right away as soon as you start being obedient. I didn't say your life is going to be perfect, but I'm saying your life will get better. And the more you put God in your life, the better your life is going to be. Amen. Amen. And when you die, you know what? You are going to be, you know, you think life got good when you got saved. Wait till you die. Amen. Amen. Paul was like, you know, they threatened to kill Paul. We're going to kill you. Paul's like, hallelujah. You know, that's what you're threatening me with? Really? All right. Did you learn something today? Hey, now let me tell you this. We do this on Wednesday and do this on purpose. Guys, we have got to start to persuade men. We're running out of time. The Bible says that, you know, you have to work while it's day because night is coming. So here's what I want you to do. And guys in the front row, don't do it. Just wait till the end of service and then go to the back and grab some. But everybody, except you're in the front row, reach your hand out like this. Everybody, reach your hand out like this. And then put your hand down a little bit, down, down, down. Now reach out and grab one of those cards. No, not one. Grab two of those cards. Grab two of those cards. Everybody, I said everybody. I said everybody. I said everybody. I said everybody. Okay, and put the hand cards over your head. Whatever you do, I'm going to pray with those cards. I'm going to pray for those cards. And I'm not only pray for those cards, but I'm going to pray for you that those cards will not be just places in your car. And I thank God they're going to be in your car. In your car is a good thing because here, when you meet somebody, when you think, man, I got to give my mailman this card, you can't give him the card if it's in the back of the chair. But if it's in your car and the Holy Spirit is going to say, hey, now, It's a perceived. You perceive an openness, and you're going to have a card. You're going to pass it to them. You're going to go, here, you got to come to my church. It's so awesome. The pastor's a little whacked, but anyway, it's an awesome church. Amen? Right? Right? Come on, you know you're going to say that. I don't mind if you say that. But you understand. I'm going to pray over those cards. And not only am I praying over those cards, listen, but I'm praying that this church would let God be true and every man a liar. That no matter what your personality temperament is, that you would become an evangelist for Jesus Christ. That you would not say, no, I can't because I'm, no, you can because the Holy Spirit will empower you. I pray the same prayer that Paul, you know, prayed that people would pray over him, that you would have the boldness to say what you ought to say. Father, I pray for everyone who has a card up in their hand. I pray for those cards. There would be a supernatural anointing on those cards. I pray not only for the cards, but the hearts of the people in this church, that this church, every seat would be filled and every person would become an evangelist. Every person would become an evangelist. Help us to care about people because we understand the wrath that is coming. And Father, we have a compassion for people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.